Let's set off on the second route of the Clydeside Promenade walking tour. We're heading east along the north side of the river, from Lansfield Quay to Salt Market and the edge of Glasgow Green.
We can see a sign pointing north to Kelvin Grove or east to the city centre and Anderston. We're going to head east.
Opposite us is a restaurant called India Quay, and this stretch of road running from the Clyde Arc along the river to Hyde Park Street is Lansfield Quay. The road then turns into Anderson Quay before becoming the Broomielaw after Washington Street.
There's a redeveloped walkway along the north side of the river here, which you can access when we get to the block of flats up ahead. Ronnie Scott ponders Glasgow's changing relationship with its river.
Looking upriver, the direction we're going to be travelling, and the first thing that we start to see around us, the huge number of modern housing units that have been produced along the banks of the Clyde. People in great numbers are flocking to these modern, up-to-date houses. They want a river view. And for many, many years, Glasgow turned its back on the river. The river was a working part of the town. It wasn't something that we wanted to look at on a day off. It wasn't certainly something we wanted to look at out of our windows. But now, thanks to the almost total death of industry on the Clyde, we now see people coming back, celebrating the river, wanting to live near the river, wanting to watch its changing moods, wanting to watch the wildlife that's attracted back to the river, wanting to watch the leisure opportunities there are. We sometimes see people in kayaks. We sometimes see people in speedboats coming up and down the river. And I'm sure in the next few years we're going to be seeing more yachting activity on the Clyde as there becomes more berthing facilities on the river.
Artist and lecturer Minty Donald has studied the evolution of the Clyde.
The Clyde, it's officially described as a heavily modified waterway, all watercourse, which means that it's been changed in significant ways from its kind of natural form. It was back centuries ago. It was a fairly shallow river. You could walk across it at Govan and other places. There was plenty of fording points, which is very different from what it looks like now. It's been canalised. It's had very steep embankment walls built to make the river narrower and deeper, really to facilitate large boats coming up and down, first of all for trade and then for shipbuilding. So there was this sort of constant kind of struggle, I guess, through the 19th century to continually deepen the river to allow bigger and bigger boats to get up it.
We're walking beside the road, but here we can take this path along the river round the front of these old freight sheds, now redeveloped into flats, which Ronnie will tell us more about.
One set of housing that we're coming to now is much older than all of the modern tower blocks we see round about us. It's a set of buildings on Lansfield Quay, and these have been adapted from freight sheds. These were redundant after the death of the harbour as a working harbour, where ships were coming in as far up as Broomielaw, landing cargo, taking away cargo. These freight sheds were very important to that trade at the time. When they became redundant, they became imaginatively turned into riverside housing. And these reflect two sides of the river. The modern side where people want to be by the river, they want to have leisure activities by the river, but also takes our mind back to earlier days when the Clyde was such an important commercial artery.
The work I do, both as an artist and as an academic, is concerned with human relationships with water and specifically with rivers. I've been looking particularly at the River Clyde in Glasgow in recent work and some other. Clearly the river played a really big role in the shaping of Glasgow through different periods in Glasgow's sort of most successful periods, where it was a kind of global force as a city, as a means of allowing boats to bring trade up the river, and then, as I said, to support manufacturing. But now it doesn't really have that purpose, so we're kind of left with this river it's a remnant of something that we as humans have really shaped to enable a particular thing to happen, and now that thing doesn't happen anymore, and I think we're a little bit uncertain what to do with it. It just kind of sits there as a slightly dead waterway that's a sort of reminder maybe of Glasgow's past glories as a shipbuilding and trading power, but hasn't really found a new role. I'm interested in that sort of push and pull between the river as a natural force, the water, the tides interacting with all these cycles that are not instigated by humans, these sort of natural cycles, and our attempts to try and kind of make the river do what we want it to do.
We spoke to Minty about Glasgow's relationship with the Clyde. Should it be restored to its former glory during the days of booming trade and shipbuilding?
I don't think it should be restored to its former glory. And I think rivers and the Clyde absolutely is a symptom of both continuity and change. I mean, it's so tied up in Glasgow's identity. You know, I'm sure I'm not the first person to trot out the Clyde made Glasgow and Glasgow made the Clyde. But I think it's a really interesting saying that, because it, for me, it always makes me think of Glasgow's shipbuilding past. But actually, we could think of it in a different way. We could think of a different relationship between the river and the city that's not just about the river being used to serve human ends and not just for industrial use or to facilitate trade, but to have maybe a slightly more kind of back and forth relationship between human and non-human.
We've just passed the row of flats. On our left-hand side, there's the Daily Record building, part of the Trinity Mirror Group, on Anderson Quay. We'll continue along the walkway.
Opposite us is Springfield Quay, which is now a leisure park with a bowling alley, cinema, restaurants and shops.
Former warehouse storage, the original Springfield Quay was cleared in the early 1980s along with Windmill Quay and General Terminus Quay and the Prince's Dock, which is now Pacific Quay, which we walked through on Route 1.
And diagonally opposite us, we can see the old Co-op building, which is now a block of luxury flats. It was the home of the Cooperative Group in Glasgow.
Back on this side of the river, Ronnie can tell us a bit more about what we can see around us.
On the north side, we start to see a cluster of modern tower office buildings, given the general title of Atlantic Quay, but actually sitting on what was historically known as Broomielaw Quay. Broomielaw Quay, as far as the eye can see, as far as we can see up as far as George V Bridge, was the first quay in Glasgow within the city boundary, and Glasgow from very early times was convinced that to flourish as a city it needed deep water harbour that allowed it to trade independently of other boroughs with the Clyde coast, with the islands, with Ireland, and potentially with the New World. Broomielaw Quay was first developed in the 17th century, and as Glasgow expanded, it expanded along the north bank of the Clydes. The first warehouses we saw were for grain, and then tea, and then for tobacco, and then whiskey. Broomielaw more recently, and Clyde Place Quay opposite, was where Glasgow folk caught ships for the west coast, the Clyde coast and Ireland, and also, of course, for 2 weeks in summer, they went doon the water to places such as Largs, Millport and Rothesay.